Good morning. We'll be looking at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 this morning. Starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I came face to face with these facts last year. March 21st will be the one-year anniversary of my heart attack. I know there are many others in this church who can speak of facing possible death and surviving to be here with us today. I can imagine that I can speak for all of us when I say that Scripture is so true when it says that you do not know what tomorrow will bring and that you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Too often we take our lives for granted. Psalm 103, verses 15 through 18, shows us the great contrast between our human frailty and the eternal nature of God. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Further, Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now, returning to our text in the book of James in verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and that. What a radically different perspective that is than what the world teaches. Many in the world will tell you that you must have your five-year plan because if you don't make it happen for yourself, no one else will. The emphasis in many schools of thought is upon self-reliance, independence, rugged individualism. James, on the other hand, says it's okay to plan, but it must be in light of the fact that it is God who is sovereign, not man. Being here this morning, being there for your child's wedding, reaching retirement, living to 100 years old, whatever that upcoming goal might be in your life, it is in God's hands. You can plan all that you want, but it is only if the Lord wills that it will happen. Returning to verse 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. This boasting is referring to making plans without recognizing that the accomplishment of those very plans are dependent upon them being according to the Lord's will. One of my coworkers used to have a sign up in their cubicle that read, the 10 most powerful two-letter words, if it is to be, it is up to me. While I doubt that individual realized it, that sign is an example of the arrogant boasting that James is warning us about. That's not to say that man has no responsibility to act or plan to improve his situation. Rather, I believe that it is saying that to take the stance that we control our lives and destinies without considering the sovereign God who reigns on high is arrogance. In a sermon on this passage, John MacArthur said, pride is the ugly sin behind a disregard for the will of God because pride says, I will do what I will do, and no one will intrude on my sovereignty. And so those who do not submit willingly, even lovingly to the will of God, those who violate the law of God, those who seek to pull God down off his throne, as it were, and reign supreme over their own lives, give evidence of not having a transformation have happened in their life at all. Verse 17, back in James. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. This is a familiar verse to many of us, but I think it's often taken out of context. The right thing to do here in the context of this passage is being obedient to the revealed will of God. Obviously, to rebel against the revealed will of God is sin, which we all must admit we are guilty of doing. Fortunately, we have a high priest in Jesus Christ who did not fail to be obedient to the will of God. In John chapter 6, it reads, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you knowing that we fall short of fulfilling your commands. We fail in so many different ways that we can't even keep track of them all. In just this passage, we're reminded that life is fragile and in your hands, yet we tend to take it for granted. We are reminded how easy it is to fall into pride and arrogance by failing to recognize your sovereignty over all of our life and being. We are reminded how it is sin for us to know your will, yet to fail to fulfill it. Lord, strengthen us. Give us steadfast hearts that are set upon you and you alone. May our thoughts, our plans, our desires, and our deeds be according to your will and for your glory. We long for the day when your word in John 6, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life and will be raised up on the last day, are fulfilled. Amen.
Would you turn with me to 1 Timothy? Chapter 3. When I was growing up, I was in one of those churches that was strongly anti-creedal, anti-formal confessions. In fact, one of the famous lines in the church was, "Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent." There's some truth to that, but there's more than that simple statement. One of the unique things of this church and what has happened in the last couple of years is that we have become friends with those we didn't know before. And that last week, even as we were having dinner together, I looked around and what I saw was very interesting and amusing and very positive, and that was, I looked in at three or four different places, there were those who were the older people sitting with those who were the newer people. And there was that familiarity that is beginning to grow and take place. Well, in this passage, there's a reminder on why we can do that. Why some of us who have never known each other for the first 30, 40, 50 years of our lives, and then get to know each other. And that is because of this, Jesus Christ, simply, but that we have a common confession in Christ Jesus. We know him in some similar ways and have some similar ideas about who he is. And I think this passage in 1 Timothy 3 is one of those passages that really revolutionized my idea of confessions, that we have a common confession of faith. And we have those common confessions of faith that are formal in the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Chalcedonian Creed, the Athanasian Statement, and then in various confessions such as the Westminster or the London Confession of 1689. But our primary confession is we have similar ideas, biblical ideas, of who Jesus is. In 1 Timothy 3:14, Paul writes these words, "I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church and the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." Now don't miss this next verse. "And by common confession is the great mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." What a beautiful summary of who Jesus is and what occurred when he came to the earth. He was revealed in the flesh. Amen. Vindicated by the spirit. In other words, the Spirit confirmed who he was. He was observed and witnessed to by angels. Proclaimed among the nations, proclaimed as Christ, as the Lord. Believed on, not only when was he proclaimed, but many believed when they heard. And he was taken up in glory. The affirmation of his ascension, where he sits at the right hand of the Father. Let us sing this song together. Was revealed in the flesh, was indicated in the spirit. complicated.